study. Title of this one is The Power of Words. Power of Words. All right, so it's been a little while since we've had a quiz, so I think it's quiz time again. I'm sure everyone is limbered up and ready to go. All right, so you're going to have three options. And remember this, you can just raise your hand for the option you choose. Here's the question. On average, who talks more, men or women? This is the question. All right, so three options. First option, men talk more. Have any takers on that one?
I'll take that.
Yeah, okay. Could you state your name clearly for the record, please? All right, so we've got one vote there. Okay. Second option, they both talk about the same. How many takers we got for that? Oh, we got one, two, three, four. Okay. All right, four takers for that. Last option, women talk more than men on average. How many takers? Seven, eight. Okay, wow. Okay. I think we had maybe one abstention, if I counted correctly. Somebody was pleading the fifth. So have you ever heard the statistic thrown out there that women speak an average of about 20,000 words per day and men speak an average of about 7,000 words per day? Has anybody ever heard that? Really? I've heard that a lot. Okay. I thought that was one everybody would be familiar with. It's actually not true, but I've heard it a lot. And I tried to find the original source for it, and I couldn't, so I think it's one of those Abraham Lincoln quotes on the internet. But I have actually heard that a lot, but nobody else has. Okay. Well, there was a study in 2007 in the Science Journal, and they found that on average, women speak about 16,250 words per day, while men speak 15,661. So basically the difference there is negligible. Men and women speak about the same amount of words per day. So we can just round that to a nice 16,000. So let's say on average, a person speaks about 16,000 words per day, which would total up to 480,000 words per month. And of course, a little over 5.7 million words in a year. So we speak a lot of words in our lifetimes. Well, Proverbs has a lot to say about words, about our speech. Commentator Roland Murphy estimated that about one out of every five verses in Proverbs chapters 10 through 29 deals with words, with our speech and the use of words. So here's a question. Why do you think that is? Why is our speech or our words such a prevalent topic in Proverbs?
Because out of the abundance of the heart,
mouth speaks. Yeah. That certainly is a good reason, because our words actually reveal a lot about us. And certainly when it comes to wisdom and folly, our words are going to reveal a lot about us and whether we have wisdom or whether we have folly. So one of the reasons that words is so important in Proverbs is because words is the major way that wisdom is taught and that wisdom is learned, just like I'm up here speaking words now. So one time I calculated the average number of words that a pastor speaks from the pulpit every year. I'm just weird like that. The average rate of public speaking is about 120 to 150 words per minute. So take a round number, about 140 words per minute. That if the average sermon is 45 minutes long, all right, 45 minutes long, if that's just the average sermon, then that totals to 6,300 words per sermon. That may not necessarily sound like a whole lot, but if a preacher is preaching three times a week, then that's going to be 18,900 words in a week. and in a year's time, it totals to 982,800 words, almost a million words. So an average preacher preaching three times a week, 52 weeks out of the year, is going to speak somewhere around 1 million words from the pulpit in that year. And of course, then you multiply that over a 20 to maybe 20 or 30 year ministry, and that's a lot of words that are being spoken. Well, think also about maybe a Sunday school teacher. So a Sunday school teacher, say, teaching a small children's class, 30 minutes every week. Well, that would be 4,200 words per class. That would be, in a year's time, if taught every week, 218,400 words. So in about 4 to 5 years, even a teacher of small children in a 30-minute Sunday school class is going to produce around a million words. That's a lot of words that we speak. Well, words are obviously important. We can see that here in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I would assume that that means because with our words, we can speak wisdom, we can speak truth, we can speak words of life, we can speak the gospel, and how we respond to those words is obviously going to affect the outcome of our lives. So words are very powerful. Of course, James in the letter there in the New Testament talked about how that, you know, the tongue's just small, but, you know, just like that rudder that can turn a large ship and all that sort of thing. So there's a lot of power in our words. Out of the seven things that God hates in Proverbs chapter 6, so Proverbs chapter 6, beginning of verse 16, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So out of those seven things that God hates here in Proverbs chapter number 6, almost half of them have to do with words, have to do with our speech. A lying tongue, a false witness speaking lies, and one that is sowing discord or strife among brothers. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word. And the word for idle there just simply means useless, empty, wasted, wasted words. So not only giving account of bad words or evil words or words that are you know, resulting in harm, but giving an account of idle words that we speak. So all of this really just to underline that words are very important and our speech is very important. And just like the answer there from a few minutes ago, really what comes out of our mouths really reveals what's in our hearts. And if we are being deceptive so that we are being hypocritical, or if we're being truthful, or whatever it is that we're being, it really is going to reveal our hearts. And of course, we know that God is the one who judges the hearts, and he sees the hearts. And we may fool other people with our words. In fact, some of the uses of words that we'll talk about in Proverbs have to do with flattery and hypocritical type speech and persuasive type speech. But God knows our hearts, and the words that come out, they will be judged. So, in this particular study, which we'll spend a few lessons on looking at words, what Proverbs has to say about speech. So we're starting here thinking about the power of our words. All right, so the first thought then is going to be how that our words are powerful. So let's go to Proverbs 16. One of the ways that one of the reasons that words are so powerful are because they actually extend beyond just the speaker, even just the hearer, and can affect many things. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27 says, "An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass." Well, so one of the threads that ties all of those verses together obviously have to do with speech, that speech is being used. An ungodly man digs up evil. Maybe we could liken that to the expression of digging up dirt on someone, you know, trying to come up with something, trying to cause problems. His lips are like a burning fire. He's sowing strife. He's separating friends. He's enticing and tempting his neighbor, leading him to what is not good. And it says he shuts his eyes to devise froward things. In other words, the mind is always working and churning to come up with evil plans and schemes, and then he opens his mouth, and all this evil that he has dreamt up just pours out. So we can see, in those verses, that there's a lot of damage that is done by an evil use of words. Now, words can have positive uses as well, but again, just to reemphasize that, if you look at Proverbs 18, verse 6 says, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." So you probably remember from childhood, that saying that, the sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me kind of thing. And it really actually is not, that's not true. And we know why that maybe that saying has some traction with it. But really, when we look into the Word of God, we realize that words can do great damage. In fact, Proverbs even speaks of them being, they can be like a sword piercing down into the inside. And here we see here the wounds going down into the innermost part, internal wounds that have been given by the words of a talebearer. So one of the reasons that words are powerful is because they have the ability that with words we can do great damage to others. We can also do good to others, but there's a lot of power in words because they affect more than just myself. You know, the words I speak affect others also. So words are powerful because they can bring other people up, or they can tear other people down. So let's look at some verses here. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse number 9. "A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." Verse 11, "By the blessing of the upright the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." So again, we see there's a great power that words can destroy your neighbor, or even destroy a city. Or words can deliver the city, words can deliver the neighbor when they are words of wisdom, words of truth. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18. "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." And so this is This is pretty classic, what we think of as Proverbs, where we get this two line and we're getting a comparison. In this case, it's the contrast. So there is a way of speaking that's like stabbing somebody with a knife, essentially, to put it in more modern terms. And then there's also a way of speaking that brings health and healing and life to other people. So again, words are powerful. Verse 25 says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." So how that a good word can build somebody up. A good word can ease a burden. It can ease a sorrow. A good word can do much to help someone in their struggle or whatever their problem is. And that, again, is just the power that there is in words. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 24, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." So pleasant words are sort of like good, nutritious, wholesome food. Tastes good. It's pleasant. It's pleasurable. But it is also nourishing to the body. And of course, we know the concept of junk food, that it can be fun. You know, it has a great taste, but it nutritionally, it doesn't really do much to help you. And taken into excess, it can do a lot to hurt us. Well, good words, wise words, have the power to be like some meal that is nutritious, it's wholesome, but it is also pleasant. It's also tastes good, sweet to the taste, and so on. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 8. Read this a few moments ago. "The words of a talebearer are as wounds; they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." So we can contrast that. There are things that we can eat that have good nutritional value. There are things that we eat that have basically no nutritional value. But there are also things that we can eat that are just downright harmful. There are things that are poisonous that we eat that could make us sick or whatever the case may be. And so that's the contrast we see between wise words, good words, and words that are used for evil. One more, Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 5. "A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet." And here again we see that dangerous use of words, that evil use of words. Flattering amounts to a deception. Deceiving a neighbor in order to entrap him, whatever the reason can be. So words can bring other people up. Words can tear other people down. But we also have to realize the power of words to affect the one who speaks them. That our words have an effect not just on others. They do have an effect on us as well. So Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 13, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him." So here again, we have that contrast. We have a use of words that actually results in a snare for the one who speaks them. And then we have a use of words that are called the fruit of his mouth and the work of his hands is sort of playing off one another there in Proverbs. So just like if you work, and let's say that you work in a garden and you work with your hands, you prepare the ground, you plant, you cultivate, you do all these things, you take care of the weeds, and you prune, and you do all these things to take care, and you feed, and all this. And then when that garden brings forth, you know, that abundant fruit, then you pick that. And the reward for all of your hard work that you have done is those fruits and vegetables that you get from the garden. Well, that's what he's saying, that a good man, in other words, a wise man, speaking wise words, using words well, and using words wisely, is going to receive that kind of a reward. There's going to be fruit that comes from that, much like the work of his hands. Verse number 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. One of those chilling verses there at the end of Revelation. It talks about how all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire in that judgment and that condemnation. In other words, this verse is telling us that truth will never be destroyed. Truth stands. Truth is firm. It is fixed. Lies, however, are just for a moment. And oftentimes, a lie can get us out of an immediate trouble. A lie might help us cheat someone to our advantage in some sort of a deal. There's all kinds of things we can think about how a lie will bring some sort of a short-term reward with it. But this proverb is again pointing out that that's just for a moment. Whatever that reward is, whatever it is that you've gained by lying, that's just going to be for a moment, because ultimately that's going to come under judgment. And except you repent, again, all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire. All right, so let's go to Proverbs 13. Verse number 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So one of the wisdom principles is that of reaping and sowing, and it occurs in a number of places throughout the Bible. But there is truth to it, that you're going to reap what you sow, and that generally is spoken of in terms of judgment, though it can also refer to reward. So here we can think of our words as being the seed that we're sowing throughout our life, and those words are being sown. They're being cast, they're being broadcast, and they're going into the ground, and they're going to grow up, and they're going to bring forth fruit. And that fruit is either going to be life, or it is going to be destruction. That is what our words are going to turn into. So once again, we're talking about how that words are powerful because they also affect the speaker, not just the ones that are spoken to. If we lie to or against someone, yes, we do damage to them, but we have to realize that we're also doing damage to ourselves. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. And this again, when you look at the fool and the rod in Proverbs, essentially the rod is what the fool earns. And he earns it through all types of foolishness, but also with the foolishness of his words. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. So a froward and perverse have the idea of being crooked, but sort of like being bent away from wisdom, being bent away from righteousness toward wickedness, toward folly. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Verse number 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So here again, we have it, that our words are a part, in a way, you could think of our words as a part of our works. The things that we speak, even again, Jesus said, every idle word is going to is going to be called to account. So our words are just like that gold and silver and precious stones and the wood, hay, and the stubble. Our words are heaping up works that are going to be tried by fire. And those that are evil, those that are foolish, those that are idle will be burnt up. All right, so these are just some of the ways that Proverbs points out how powerful that words are. And again, we speak so many words, it's easy for us to not think that much about it. But our words really are powerful. They affect others, and they affect ourselves as well. So next, thinking about the power of words, we're going to sort of look at the reverse side, and that is the weakness of words. So the ways that words are weak. So Proverbs chapter 14. Verse number 23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury or to poverty. All right, so of course you've heard the expression, talk is cheap. And that sort of captures the essence of the proverb here, that in all work, sometimes we may be working with not the most efficiently. Maybe we don't have the best tools. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of working with what you had on hand and you're trying to accomplish a job only to have someone over there standing talking about how much quicker you could do this if you had this, or how much better this could be done this way. All the while they're doing nothing. They're just standing there talking. Well, talk is cheap. Talk, it comes easy. Talk is free. But in this case, when compared with work, talk doesn't really accomplish anything. Talk doesn't get the job done, you could say. So one of the weaknesses of words are that words are not a substitute for wise actions. So think about what James talked about. If you know, if your brother or sister were to come to your door, they're hungry, they're in need, and you speak lovely words to them, go in peace and be warm and be filled. However, you didn't give them any food. You didn't give them a coat. You didn't give them a blanket. You know, you've not actually accomplished anything. So that's one of the weakness of words. Words can sound great, but can actually accomplish nothing. They're not a good substitute for wise actions. Words also cannot change what has happened. So words are weak in the sense that they have no power to be able to undo what has been done. So Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 12, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? This is sort of like the plea of ignorance. I didn't know. I didn't realize. But those words can't undo what has been done. And those words, confession of ignorance, if you will, does not remove the guilt incurred for what wrong has been done, nor does it undo any damage that has been done. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 23. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So again, words can be used to cheat, to deceive, to gain advantage over someone, but they can't change the reality. So in this sense, think about it, this silver dross covered potsherd. In other words, you're trying to sell a Rolex watch that if somebody looks closely enough, they'll see it says Bolex. and not Rolex. You know, it's not the genuine article. And all of your talk can't change what that is in reality, no matter how great you make it sound. You know, I can remember had a particular friend in school growing up, and he was the guy that always came out on the good side of the deal, whatever deal was being done, and he had such a way of making you believe that you were actually better off getting the bad end of the stick, so to speak. You know, you're actually better off. Well, our words can't change. We can't take a fake article and make it genuine by our words. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. And this would get into some of the things we've talked about in our Sunday school study on the conscience and some of the ways that we sort of reason and justify and rationalize various things. And again, just because we might console ourselves that what we did wasn't really a problem because of, you know, this phase of the moon or something, that doesn't change it. It doesn't change it. It can't change what has been done. And it can't turn what God calls sin into righteousness. No matter how great those words may sound, no matter how great those reasons may sound to us in our effort to justify ourselves, they cannot change what has happened. So words, though they have great power, are very weak when it comes to changing what has been done. And sometimes words are weak because words by themselves are just not enough. So Proverbs chapter 23, see if this is the right. I've got the wrong verse written down here. Let's go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 19. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Now, part of what this has to do with is the correction of a fool, and in essence saying that there are times when words are not enough. You know, the spoken correction is not enough, and that has to do again with the rod for the fool's back and such. So, okay, so we've seen the reasons words are powerful. We've seen reasons words are weak. So words are very powerful. Words are in an abundant supply. Words can be used so freely and so easily. And I've tried to hold to this this little saying for my own self that in life I have rarely regretted the things I didn't say. I have much more often regretted the things I did say. Not that there's not, you know, there is a time to speak and there is a time to be silent. And sometimes we do regret because we should have said something at this point. So I'm not saying that that's never the case. It just seems like that in my experience that I much more frequently regret what I've said and not what I didn't say. So words are so freely available. You don't have to have any money. You don't have to have any intelligence. You don't have to have anything in order to be able to use words. And we use a lot of them. So we have to understand that words have a tremendous potential for good or for bad. That our words can build up and our words can tear down. So spoken words are sort of like milk that has been spilled on the floor. There's no gathering it back up into the jug like nothing ever happened. So let's a couple verses here. and we'll close on these. So Proverbs 17, verse number 14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Probably putting these in modern terms today, we might talk about escalating a situation versus de-escalating a situation. So you might think of sort of like maybe a road rage incident, or maybe an argument at a store over some last package of toilet paper on the shelf, or whatever the case may be. And a lot of times in those tense situations, we can escalate those situations by the way we respond, by the things that we say, or we can de-escalate those situations. Well, that's sort of the warning here in Proverbs. The beginning of strife is was one letteth out water, you know. So it might begin with just a little trickle and seem to be no problem, but then, you know, the dam bursts and here comes the flood and big problem. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. And if you've ever had a relationship that seemed to be irreparably damaged one way or another, you realize the truth of what's being said there. Far better it is to have never given offense than to have offended and to seek reconciliation, and sometimes that's just not possible. So we have to remember that our words are very powerful, and once they're spoken, there's no getting them back, really. There's no undoing that, really. And so for that reason, we have to have wisdom with our words, and that's some of the things we'll look at as we progress on.